This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
Verse number 1 of Matthew 21, the Bible says this. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples. Verse 2. The scripture goes on as he says, he sends those two disciples and he says, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, sitting upon an ass, and the colt, a colt of the foal of an ass. If you want to write out beside that, that is Zechariah 9:9-10. The prophecy that was spoken, it was spoken by Zechariah. And Zechariah said, Jerusalem will know the king when she comes riding in on a colt, the foal of a colt, the donkey. The Bible says in verse 6, and the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down the branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. The multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, in the middle of that verse, who was David to Israel? What was he? He was their greatest king. So the son of David, what were they saying? This is who? A king. It would be like saying, this is the son of the Queen of England. You know that he is going to be the king as well. And so they say, as he's coming in, here comes the king. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? The multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. I thought they just said he was a king. But when the rubber met the road and people said, who did you just say this was? What did they say? He's just the prophet. He's the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. 3 times a year, every Jewish male had to make their way from wherever they lived and had to go all the way to Jerusalem. I've got a chart that I want to show you. Those 3 times were the Feast of Passover, which was in the spring, the Feast of Pentecost, which we talked about in Sunday school this morning, that was in the summertime, and then there was the time that was called the Feast of Booths, or Tabernacles, which took place in the fall time. The Feast of Passover is where we are in Matthew chapter number 21. It was a 7-day feast. It began on one Sabbath, and it ended at the end of the next Sabbath. And there were specific things that they had to do during this feast, and I'm going to talk about those tonight. And they all had to do with the Lamb. Everything about Passover, which is where we are right here, it has to do with the Passover Lamb. But yet we find in our passage that there are no lambs mentioned, only donkeys. Why didn't Matthew mention a lamb, just a donkey? Because the lamb was not on the street, the lamb was on the donkey. And Matthew already assumed that people would know that. And in our text we find that Passover has come. At this time there are roughly 1 to 2 million Jews that come together. Now, Miss Lorraine's been with me to Jerusalem before. And the population of Jerusalem today is roughly 300,000 to 400,000 people. It's about the size, it's a little bit smaller than Guilford County, the size. But in that time of year, in that city, there were 2 million Jews. You can imagine the crowd, John, that would be in that city where we were. So what they would do is they would extend the borders of the city of Jerusalem outside of Jerusalem proper, and the city boundaries would extend all the way out to Bethpage and Bethany, which is where we find that Jesus has come from. And all of that's going to matter once we tie this whole day together. Today is going to be a whole lot what Preacher Kanoi used to call an unhitching day. I'm going to only take you so far this Sunday morning. We'll unhitch. We won't dismiss. And we'll come back tonight and rehitch up and latch back on to where we were. Jesus is there as a Jewish male, as he has done 32 other times. But this time when he comes into Jerusalem, it's going to be different. This time in Jerusalem, he's going to do something that only one other man in history had ever done. He is going to get on the back of a donkey and ride the donkey over the Mount of Olives, down through the Garden of Gethsemane, through the Valley of Jehoshaphat or the Kidron Valley, up through the Eastern Gate and onto the Temple Mount. Only one other man in the history of Israel had ever done that, and his name was David. David did it after the rebellion of Absalom. And here was the requirement. Every Jewish person, male, had to walk into Jerusalem. The only one that was allowed to ride in on a donkey was the one that fulfilled Zechariah 9:9, the prophecy of the entrance of the king. Here's what I want to give you tonight, today. Every gospel writer, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all cover this passage. They all cover the triumphal entry of the king into Jerusalem. But only Matthew gives three details that are in his book that the others don't cover in the depth he covers. And these three things I want to use to explain this story. We find the entrance of the king. Jesus fulfills this. And as he comes in, I got to take his jacket off. I'm about to burn up. I don't know if I'm just getting fat, but I'm about to catch on fire. I'm just going to be downright honest with you. I told Sunday school this morning, I looked at Mason, and I said, "Son," I was getting my vest on. I couldn't get the bottom button buttoned, and I had to loose this back. I said, "Son, am I getting fat?" He said, "Well, what do you mean, well? How about I stick the well of this Allen Edmonds down your throat? How about that?" Well, so anyways, I got to take that jacket off. I'm feeling better about this whole situation now. And so when David comes in, or when Jesus comes into the city, the people began to cry, "Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." That is a prophecy that is out of Psalm 136, verse 26. Verse 25 and 26 of Psalm 136, the psalmist said that when the king comes, the people said, "Hosanna, blessed." You know who they said that to the first time? David. And in type, he was saying, "As they said it to me, so they'll say it to the king that comes the second time." Everything was pointing to the fact that Jesus was the king of the Jews. Everything he did on that day pointed to the fact that he was the promised Messiah. But yet they get down to the end of the story, and the same people that take the palm branches and wave them are the same people said, this is a prophet. It's a prophet. Three things very quickly. Number one, Matthew tells us about the colt. He tells us about the colt. Every other gospel writer that talks about this, when they give the story, they just said that Jesus said, go and get a donkey and bring the donkey. But they never talk about what he actually rode on, because Matthew tells us here that there wasn't just a donkey, but there was the donkey's mother. There was a mama and then a colt that was 1 year old that had never been ridden on before. Now, number one, can I ask you all a question? If you got a donkey that's never been ridden on, what happens when you get on it the first time? Somebody is hitting the ground, and it's going to be the lighter of the two of you. That donkey should have begun to buck, but the Bible says that when Jesus gets on it, that he rides into Jerusalem. Number two, what I grasp about this is, why did Matthew go to the extent that he had to tell us that not just the colt, but the mama came too? What would that mama have done for that baby? That's exactly what it had done. It would have brought peace to that baby. That baby donkey, it should have been upset about it, but it wasn't because mama was there. It should have been torn to pieces, but it wasn't because mama was there. It should have been all over the place, but it wasn't, because mama was there. Brothers and sisters, this is all a type. What the Lord Jesus, through the power of the Holy Ghost, was trying to show you is exactly what Jesus does when he saves you and I. Let me give you some illustrations. Number one, who is that donkey? That little baby donkey? That's me and that's you. We're a bunch of donkeys, dumb and wild. We don't like to be tamed. We don't like to have anybody mess with us. We want to go about our own way and do our own thing and operate in our own power, just like that baby donkey. Number two, who is Jesus? He's the King. He's the one that wants to take us and use us. He's the one that wants to take us and go somewhere with us. He's the one that wants to use mankind to glorify His name, just as that little donkey that day was used to march into Jerusalem with Jesus on his back, just as that little donkey was used to have people cast down their clothes and cast down the palm branches. Nobody saw that donkey. I mean, you imagine if you're standing up tall and there's crowds of people all around you, all you're going to see is the head of the one that's riding in. You don't see the donkey, but do you know what you hear? He hears, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Listen to me. I don't care if you don't know my name. I don't care if I don't know your name, but here is what I do care about. I've been praying this, and I've been asking God, whenever I stand to preach, whenever people come to sing, they don't have to see us, they don't have to remember us, but if they'll just know that the King has come to town, that the King is in the house, that the King is on the scene, that Jesus is the one that has been prophesied by God, Jesus is the one that was born of a virgin, Jesus is the one that lived a sinless life, Jesus is the one that died an atoning death, Jesus is the one that rose from the grave 3 days later, Jesus is the one that can save their soul, Jesus is the one that's coming back one day, Jesus is the one that was sent from the Father, Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, Jesus is the first fruits of them that rose again, Jesus is the harvest, Jesus is the thresher, Jesus is the harvest master, Jesus is the King, Jesus is the light, He's the one that gives me light in my darkness. He's the one that gives me light in my way. He's the one that shines on my path. He's the one that guides me on my way. He's the one that helps me when I don't know where to go. He's the one that walks me when I can't walk. He's the one that talks with me when nobody talks. He's the one that saved me when nobody wanted to save me. He's the one that gave me a home in heaven when all I was doing is bound for hell. He's the one that locked the bars of hell and Katie barred the door so that every time the devil tries to take me back to the charred walls of the damned, he gets to the key door, sees the lock on the door, reaches for his keys, and realizes I don't even have the keys to my own gate. You know who did that? Jesus did that. And I'm waiting on a bunch of Baptists to wake up on Sunday morning and realize if you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, washed in that royal red flow, you can't go to hell. If you wanted to, you're heaven bound with the hammer down. Now, it was Jesus, and listen, I'm that donkey. Nobody comes to see a donkey. This morning, I wanted a donkey so bad I couldn't see straight. I tried to find a donkey, and I had my hands on two. Now look, I'm the pastor. We do what I want to do, except when it comes to barnyard animals. Evidently, I was overridden. Evidently, you can't tell a donkey when and when not to go to the bathroom. So you know what I said? Don't feed it. Don't give it water. Treat it like an old person. Oh, don't you even. I've seen how y'all treat your elderly parents. I'm the one that's got to come over and be the peacemaker. But here is the point. You don't come this morning to see a donkey. You came this morning to see a king. And Jesus is that king. Now watch this. If I'm the donkey and Jesus is the king, I'm going to be honest. As a donkey that has never been broken, that's never had a saddle put on it, never been ridden, you know what my natural tendency is? To buck him off. Not walk in his way. When something comes in my path and scares me to death, my first reaction is to do what? Run. Your first reaction when you get saved, the first thing that comes to your mind is, I can't handle this. I can't do this. God, how am I going to walk down this path? How am I going to handle this situation? How am I going to go through this trial? How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to go through that? How am I going to deal with this? But remember what I said. The donkey wasn't alone. Somebody was there to bring peace when it was scared. You know who that mama's a picture of? The Holy Ghost of God. You know, when I got saved, Jesus got me off the hitching post. He didn't get me off alone. Somebody got in that journey with me, Brother Bob. Somebody started walking with me. I've never walked 1 mile by myself. I've never gone one step by myself. And if you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you've never gone by yourself either. Jesus has been with you, riding with you the whole time. But sometimes that burden gets heavy, but there's still somebody that is there to say, it's okay. I've walked down this road before. I've been on this journey before. I've seen this issue before. I've been where that rock is. You need to make sure you don't trip over that. And when I trip over that, that little mama was sitting there saying, no, you'll be okay. You can get back up. And when I didn't know what to do and I couldn't see Jesus and I couldn't feel where he was because my back had gotten numb, man, I feel like I'm preaching to myself this morning, and my back would get numb and I couldn't bear that burden anymore and I couldn't look at Jesus. You know who I could look at? I could lock eyes with that mama donkey. I could lock eyes with that Holy Spirit, and I couldn't see him, but I could see the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, there are going to be times in my journey and times in your journey, and you're not going to know where God is. You can't find Jesus. You don't know where he's going. You don't know what he's doing, and the burden and the load he's put on your back is breaking your back, and the rocks are tripping you up, and the potholes potholes are making you fall. One time you look up and it's the pothole of your marriage. Next time you look up and it's the pothole of your youngins. Next time you look up, it's the pothole of your finances. The next time you look up, it's the pothole of your vehicle. Next time you look up, it's the pothole of your insufficiencies. Next time you look up, it's the pothole of you just wish you were somebody else. Next time you look up, it's the pothole of church. Next time you look up, it's the pothole of addiction. Next time you look up, it's the pothole of pain. Next time you look up, you understand, every time you're looking up, thinking you've made it along the way, you step in something else, and you hit another pothole. Just about the time you get ready to stay down, you hear something come along, and it says, son, get on up. I've been down this way before, and you're almost home. You're almost to the golden city of Jerusalem. Don't stop traveling now. You're not home yet, son, but you're almost to where you want to go. I feel the Holy Ghost in my soul so many times. I look at my wife and I say, Erica, I can't handle anymore. I can't take the pressure anymore. The minnows just nibble you to death. And she says, honey, you don't need to give up. But then when she doesn't say it and she says, you need to give up, you need to throw in the towel, you need to hit the road, all of a sudden I feel that still small voice on the inside of me that says, don't you give up. Don't you throw in the towel. It'll happen like that in your marriage. You're ready to call it quits. You're ready to throw in that towel. You're ready to turn it over and say, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not walking in this anymore. I'm not dealing with this anymore. And long about that time when everybody's turned around, there's a still small voice. You can't see Jesus, but the Holy Ghost, he says, son, daughter, you're not home yet, but you can start to see the lights. You're not there yet, but you can see the glittering dome. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Matthew says the mama was with him because the Holy Ghost is always with us. Number two, Matthew makes a statement and he talks not just about the colt, he talks about the clothing. Notice what Matthew says in verse number seven. The Bible says the disciples brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes. Here's what happens. When the disciples see, that Jesus is going to mount this colt, and no man has ever mounted this colt before, they hope that maybe if they put something warming around that colt, it's less likely to buck. So what did they give? Their coats. This would be their outer garment, or we would call it their tallit, the prayer shawl. Here's what they said. They said, I am willing to sacrifice my praying so he can go on. Can I tell you something? There is nothing more discouraging when we pray and feel like nobody's listening. We pray for family, we pray for friends, we pray for this and we pray for that, and feels like nothing's happening. There is nothing more discouraging to pray for a family member or a situation, a relationship, a financial need, whatever it is, and feel like God has gone deaf. Nothing more discouraging. I don't know of anything more discouraging than that. Look, if I know that God's hearing my prayers, I can deal with anything. But it's when I feel like God has gone deaf. But you know what those men said? I don't care how dirty it gets. I don't care how hard it gets. And I don't care where he ends up. He can have my prayers. He can have my prayers. I don't care where it goes. I don't care what happens. But watch this. All of a sudden, when they see Jesus come over the Mount of Olives, you know what all those millions of Jews said? It's him. And you know what they did? They took theirs. And they laid them down too. Do you know why they were willing to lay them down? It wasn't just one. They kept on. Strip, son. Huh? I do want it. They just kept on. They just kept on. They just kept on. And just kept on. And just kept on. And just kept on. Do you know why they did that? You know what they thought? They thought Jesus was going to establish his physical kingdom and destroy the Romans. That's why they said, Hosanna, blessed is the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of God. They said, the King has come. You know what they were saying? This is exactly what I was hoping he'd do. So as long as he was doing exactly what they wanted him to do, they were willing to give whatever it took. But he marches up into the eastern gate, and instead of going to the Antonia fortress on the back side, guess where he goes? He goes to the front side, and he throws the changers' money over. And at that point, they thought, what is he doing? What in the world is this man doing? He's not doing what I thought he should do. Why is he doing it that way? Why is he operating like that? At what point did they change their tone from Son of David to Jesus the prophet? It was this, when he changed what they thought should happen. You know, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with Jesus as long as he does everything like I think it ought to be done. I'm willing to do whatever, aren't you? Oh, Lord, yeah. You need me to give more? Plenty of money in the bank, I'll do it. You need me to pray more? God, I got more time than I know what to do with. I'm happy to do it. God, you want my family to be involved? No problem. We're all healthy and happy? Sure. Life goes just like you want it to go, Earl. Everything's looking good. Bills are paid. Life is good. Friday night equals fish house and ice cream. And I'm willing to give whatever. But then all of a sudden, Jesus doesn't go the direction I think he ought to go. You know what most people do at that moment? You know what they say? You know what they say? I didn't sign up for this. This isn't what I thought. You know what we do? We say, it's not what I thought it was going to be. We call those fair weather Christians. I've often wondered why God does what he does in our lives. I've often wondered that. Sometimes I wonder if he doesn't do it to show us that we really don't trust him like we think we do. Dennis, I'm happy as long as everything's okay. And I'll lay down whatever I need to, but it's when he goes in a direction that I don't think, watch this, 2 million Jews laid down coats, but only 12 coats stayed with him. We're absolutely out of our minds if we think that the populace of everybody is going to agree with what Jesus is. Son, they'll follow him as long as he pays the bills and gives money to their kids. Man, I'll be a Christian. Why not? It's better than Salvation Army. But you let them hit hard times and you let cancer settle into our bodies. And look, I'm not asking. I don't want it. Lord, God knows I don't want it. But I just wonder, will I be as willing to cast my everything down even when life doesn't go in the direction I think it ought to go? Here's the third thing Matthew mentions, and I'm out. The claim. The claim. They made two claims in this. They said, number one, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Then, verse 11, who was that again? Who was it? Oh, that was Jesus. That was the prophet of Galilee. Watch this. Hosanna, the Son of David, came from here. Who is it? That's Jesus, the prophet. That came from here. There are people here this morning. Listen. It's easy to believe in Jesus in a room full of people when everybody loves Jesus and everybody's a part of it. It's easy to say, Hosanna. That one over there said, my Jesus, I love thee. Yeah, my Jesus, I love thee. That one back there said, when I think about the Lord. Yeah, when I think about the Lord. But what does your heart say? Do you say this morning, he is my Savior and I have repented of all to follow him? Or are you like most people and you say, yeah, Jesus, he's a good guy. He's a prophet. Tell me what you think. He's a prophet. He's a prophet. He's a good guy. Now, are you ready for this one? What did they call him at the beginning? The Son of David. What did that make him? What? King of who? The Jews. 4 days later, at the hall of Pilate, there stands the Son of David. And Pilate says, who do you want? They wouldn't even say his name. They said, give us Barabbas. What do you want? This? Crucify him. They wouldn't even say his name. Who called him King of the Jews? Pilate. The Romans. When the King of the Jews should have come forth off of the lips of the Hebrews, they said, the prophet, we don't even want him. But the Romans said, he's the King of the Jews. The Romans said at the cross, truly this was the Son of God. You know what the Jews said? Kill the prophet. Kill the prophet! But one day, I thought he was a prophet too. One day I'd heard about this man, but I didn't know him. I had this, but I didn't have this. Do you know the problem with this? This doesn't always control this and this and this. But you know what this will do? This will control this and this and this and everything else. Let me give you an illustration of this before I close this out. Let me ask you this. How many of you know fire is hot? Okay. But how many of you love your children? What you know in here, if your children were stuck in a fire, wouldn't this override this? Yeah. And the reason you can't live for Christ is because it hasn't gone from here to here. You must be born again. You must be saved and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how do I know if I'm saved? You'll know it. Listen, people say, I don't remember the day I got saved. You don't have to remember the day you got saved. You say, I don't remember what I said. You don't even have to remember what you said. Do you know why? Because when something that big gets lodged in something that small, like a puppet master, it will control what you do and what you say and where you go. And though you will not remember when, you will remember who, and it'll change you. But the Jews said, crucify him. They didn't even want Pilate to say, the King of the Jews. But one day, they'll be in a field outside of Jerusalem to the north, in a field called the Valley of Megiddo. The armies of Antichrist will have marched from the east. The armies of Russia will have marched down from the north. The kings of the west and the kings of the south, with all of their Persian armies, will have come up and will have met little Israel in a little place called the Valley of Jezreel. They'll have their cannons set upon Israel, and Israel will somehow and some way say, God, will you deliver us? And that band of Jews that have trusted in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ after the preaching of the 144,000 will lift up their eyes to heaven. And they will say, O God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, will you deliver me? And they will look up, and about that time they'll see the eastern sky begin to roll back. At that time, they will see coming out of the glorious clouds of heaven, they will see a man with his girdle dipped in blood. They will see a man that was riding on a white stallion as he comes out of heaven, the Bible says, with the fire of his mouth. And that time, do you know what they'll say? They'll lift up their eyes and they'll say, Hosanna, it's not just the Son of David, but it is the Son of God. It is the King of the Jews. The first time he came in riding a donkey, the second time he'll come in riding a white horse. The first time he came from the east at Bethpage, but the next time he comes, he'll come from the north, from to Jerusalem, out of the Valley of Armageddon. The first time he came, people laid down their clothes. The second time he comes, they'll lay down their weapons. The first time he came, they called him a prophet, but the second time he comes in Revelation 19, they'll call him faithful and true. The first time he comes, he came with no crowns on his head, but the second time he comes, he'll have many crowns on his head. The first time he came with his clothes dusted with the dust of carpentry. But the second time he comes, the Bible says he'll have a vesture dipped down in the blood of the Lamb. The first time he came, they called him Jesus of Nazareth, but the second time he comes, they will call him the Word of God. The first time he came with 12 disciples following him, but the second time he comes, according to Revelation 19, he'll come with 10,000 upon 10,000 upon 10,000 upon 10,000 of the armies of the saints of God. The first time he came, his followers were walking behind him. The second time he comes, his followers will be riding on horses behind him. The first time he came, his words were meek. But the second time he comes, his words will be as a flaming sword that obliterates the Antichrist and the demons and the devils of hell. The first time he came to bring life. But the second time he comes, he'll come to tread down the winepress of the wrath of of Almighty God. The first time he came, honey, they cried, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. But the second time he comes, every knee and every eye will look up to heaven and they'll say, is this not he? Is this not the Lamb prophesied in Genesis? Is this not the Passover prophesied in Exodus? Is this not the high priest in Leviticus? Is this not the cloud in Numbers? Is this not the prophet in Deuteronomy? Is this not our prophet like unto Samuel? Is this not our kinsman redeemer in Ruth? Is this not our judge in the book of Judges? Is this not our king in Kings and Chronicles? Is this not our Mordecai and Esther? Is this not our wall builder in Nehemiah? Is this not our scribe in Ezra? Is this not our daysman betwixt us in Job? Is this not our singer and psalmist in Psalms? Is this not our wisdom in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes? Is this not the rose of Sharon in the Song of Solomon? Is this not that wheel inside of the wheel in Ezekiel? Is this not the weeping prophet in Jeremiah and Lamentations? Is this not the one that came to make us white as snow in Isaiah? Is this not the fourth man in the fire in Daniel? Is this not Gomer's husband in Hosea? Is he not Matthew's king? Is he not Mark's servant? Is he not Luke's man? He's John's God. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the Acts baptizer in fire. He's the Romans justifier. He's the Corinthians sanctifier. He is Galatians' redeemer from the curse of the law. He's Ephesians' mystery of the church. He's Philippians' joy. He's Colossians' head above all things. Brothers and sisters, he is in Thessalonians, the soon coming king. He is in Timothy and Titus, our faithful pastor. He is in Philemon, our one that sticketh closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he is the blood of the new covenant. In the book of James, he is the one that has come to heal the sick. In the book of Peter, he is the king. In the book of Jude, he is the Lord. In the book of John, he is life and love. And ladies and gentlemen, when they look up in Revelation number 19, they won't say any of that, but here is what they'll say. They'll say, all hail the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ has come. He came the first time. He will come the second time. Which side of the donkey will you be on? Will you be on the side that leaves your coat with him and say, Lord, wherever you lead, I will follow? Or will you say, it's the prophet. It's just the prophet. If you call him a prophet today, give me 4 days. You'll be the same one saying, crucify.